Not quite 7 years ago, when I was first inspired to give this talk, I followed 242 people on Twitter. I got up to a lot more before I reset my account. I'm not sure what I follow now, less than 100. One of those that I followed back then, her name was Sylvia. She worked in marketing at a Hard Rock venue down in Worcester, Massachusetts, which is spelled more like Worcester. Hey, there you go. I'm not sure if I met her or not. I suspect I did. Either way, I started following her because the club's Twitter account, I followed the club's Twitter account back then, the club's Twitter account suggested that I should. And I'll admit, I was of two minds about what she wrote. She was funny, but she also used words that I'd rather not see come through my timeline. Sadly, 7 years later, those kinds of words have proliferated on social media, including accounts from political leaders. That's the thing, is it was one thing to have a hard-mouthed marketing person for a Hard Rock venue use words like that. It's another thing to see politicians nowadays thinking that it's appropriate, and other leaders. Now, an example of both being funny and swear, and I'm not going to say it out loud, this was one of her tweets when a hurricane decided to hit our East Coast. She said, "Thanks to Irene, I am not the biggest heartless. I'm not going to say it in America right now. Thanks to Irene, I'm not the biggest heartless, you know what, in America right now." And you know, that quote kind of reveals her Twitter persona, a hard woman with little patience for stupidity. Not the kind of woman that you would expect to spend a whole bunch of time painting her nails, if you know what I mean. But with lines like these, I think you can understand why I dealt back then. I dealt with the risk of ingesting some profanity. She, like, here's some things she wrote. "I don't do dishes. When I'm done eating, I smash plates on the floor and walk out of the kitchen like a rock star." What? Oh, come on, that was funny. Don't shake your head at that.
Reminds me of Green Acres.
Oh, I've never.
You're a
hooked Green Acres. No, was that good?
That's how all kind of funny.
She was rich and they moved to the country.
Yeah.
That's how she washed dishes. She threw them out the
window.
I remember that. Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yeah.
Yep. Was it her sister, Ava?
No, I think it was Zsa Zsa, wasn't it? Yeah. Here's another one. "Why is it that anything positive I ever say is followed by someone asking, 'Are you being sarcastic?' I'm not crying, you." I'm not going to say what the word is. "I am having an allergic reaction to feelings." "If you pull your sunglasses down and rest them on your upper lip while speaking to me, I've already envisioned 16 ways to kill you with them." "The child in me says, 'Eat candy for breakfast.' But the adult in me says, 'You're an adult. You can do whatever that you want to. Do it.'"
I think I know what those words are going in.
Yeah, well, don't start filling them in. "When I think about quitting coffee, the fear is not that I will die. It's that others will die and I will go to jail." Oh, come on. These are good. "I'd be a lot more inclined to take my godson Matthew to Build-A-Bear if they could help him build one that would maul my neighbors." Okay. And so on. She had lots of tweets like that. So, do you not have a picture of Sylvia in your mind? The kind of woman that she is?
She's like a rock star.
She's like a rock star, exactly.
She thinks she is, but yeah. She's not. That's what I was thinking.
I suspect she'd be someone you'd have fun around. But would you ever want to get in her crosshairs? Probably not. Well, back on August 21st, 2011, she tweeted something that we can all learn from. Few words that give us a lot of advice on how to handle her and anyone else who lacks the patience of Job or who can get hot under the collar quickly. And, you know, in Sylvia, back then, now on Twitter you can do 280 characters. Back then, you could only do 140 characters, and she didn't use them all up to write this. Ready? She wrote, "I just found my kryptonite, friendly people." Did you hear that? I just found my kryptonite, friendly people. What's kryptonite, Augie?
The only thing that can kill Superman.
Exactly. The only thing that can hurt or kill Superman, right? Now, I don't really know if she is a grumpy or cranky person. Online personas can be quite a bit different than in person. But I saw enough of her tweets to suspect that she is actually a pretty nice person with a hard exterior, that she is someone who can speak to what it takes to disarm individuals who aren't known as the epitome of congenial. Their kryptonite, and I suspect everyone's kryptonite, is what?
Kindness.
Kindness. Friendly people. Friendly people. Do you agree?
Well, yes.
The saying, kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness. Ugh. Horrible saying. Heap burning coals on their head. Have you ever had a situation where you were ready and raring to rip into somebody who answered the phone or came to the desk because something went wrong, and they were especially nice in a genuine way, even after you started off firing both barrels? Have you ever run into a situation like that? You're cranky and then... Perhaps it didn't work at first. Their friendliness didn't work at first. And you continue to rant. But isn't it almost impossible to remain irate when for every unkind thing that you say, the person returns a considerate answer? Isn't it hard to stay angry?
I've had the opposite.
Where you've been nice? Or
parents come to me.
Yeah?
And by the time they leave, it's like, okay, well, I have to stop.
Exactly. So you've experienced using it, right?
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Augie? Okay, what was that?
So, when I was at the bowling alley, I had $20.
Yeah.
I decided to buy some mozzarella sticks. I already had a drink for myself.
Yeah.
So, I was going to share them with Colin, but I figured he'd get thirsty, so I bought him a drink.
That was nice of you. Kindness does work. At this point, that we've been talking about being kind to somebody when they're not being kind to you, right? Does any Bible verse come to mind? Because as soon as I saw Sylvia's tweet, one immediately popped up in mine. Perhaps you're familiar with it? It's Proverbs 15:1. Do you want to look it up? Proverbs 15:1. And as I said, of all things, I left my Bible at home. And I could open it on my iPad, but if I'm going to do that, I might as well just read it off the paper here. It's okay. I'm good. Thank you. Beyond the fact the font is a little small and yours for my eyes. I'm getting blind. We got 15:1, Proverbs 15:1. Go ahead, read it, Ma.
A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. And just think what she said again, right? I found my kryptonite, friendly people. Can you imagine being in a situation where Sylvia had a bad night, is feeling a bit under the weather, had some jerk in the line at Starbucks spill coffee on her, and as she walks into work, you inadvertently catch her ire. She says something harsh to you, and you have to make a choice. Now, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't deserve her wrath. You have every right to tell her off. And she's given you that evil eye or the stink eye that our bearded dragon gives you. She's given you that evil eye. What did Proverbs say? Proverbs said, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up what?
Wrath.
Now, some other translations. See, what's interesting is I've got this as it was English Standard Version. I wonder if they've changed their wording in the newer...
No, you reversed it. Wrath was first and anger was second.
I was going to say, mine says, the gentle answer turns away wrath.
Well, I usually copy and paste, so I'm not sure what happened.
Stirs up anger.
So now you two are ganging up on me? Is that what you're doing? Either way, there are other translations. The Nut Bible says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Holman Christian Standard Bible, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The King James Version, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The New American Standard Bible, which is, I think, yours, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And a translator's footnote in that, by the way, says harsh is literally painful. Interesting. Painful. The New Living Translation, a gentle answer deflects for anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The Contemporary English Version, a kind answer soothes angry feelings, but harsh words stir them up. The New International Reader's Version, it's a translation for children, a gentle answer turns anger away, but mean words stir up anger. And then finally, the Message. A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Interesting.
I don't know what that means.
Temper fire?
Yep, that means you're like, angry.
Yeah, right? And you beat him up, right?
I didn't beat him up.
Good. Yeah, you had it exactly. In that case, you didn't fire back. You diffused the situation by leaving. Okay, so let's go back to Sylvia, right? She's had that bad start to her morning. She comes in and she just lets into you. And you've got a choice. You have to choose whether you want to return a gentle answer, a soft answer, a kind answer, a gentle response, or harsh words, grievous words, mean words, a sharp tongue. And of course, your decision, and I would say in social media, by the way, this is part of the decision, your decision depends on whether you want to turn away anger, to deflect anger, to turneth away wrath, to soothe angry feelings, to diffuse anger, or perhaps what you really want to do is to stir up wrath, to make tempers flare, to stir up anger, to stir up angry feelings, to kindle a temper fire. So there you are before fuming and coffee-stained Sylvia, stung by her sharp and witty tongue, and you... Okay.
Say something. I would either walk away or say something nice and help her with her clothes.
That would be nice. Say something nice and help with her clothes. I like that. Now, one tweet... And one scripture, does that a doctrine make? Probably should look some other stuff. So let's freeze there, okay? We're going to freeze there. Sylvia is frozen. I'm going to freeze her at that point in time and consider a few more references. The first is a little later in the same chapter as the one we just read. So Proverbs 15:18. Do you have that, Deb?
Mm-hmm.
What's it say?
All the days of the
That's interesting. That's Proverbs 15:18, huh?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yep. That's fine. It was still a good verse. Go ahead.
I like that. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention.
There you go. Here's a similar, right? A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And 10 chapters later, so let's look at 25:15. Michelle, do you mind reading that one? Good.
Even if someone threatens to kill me, life or death situation.
Well, you're allowed to protect yourself, but still keep the kind heart. Michelle?
With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone.
Right. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Think of that. If you are patient and slow to anger, not only will you quiet contention, but your soft tongue will break a bone. Now, of course, if you really want to break a bone, then you aren't getting the point, right? It is an expression, not a reality. What about Paul? What does he recommend in tense situations? Let's take a look at that. Romans 12:18-21. Romans 12, 18 through 21. Are we there? 12, 18 through 21? If possible, so far as it depends on you, and I think that's very important. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with who?
All men.
Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, and there's a quote here, this is a quote, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head," unquote. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Never, that's one of those absolute words, never avenge yourselves. Do not be overcome by evil. Instead, what should you overcome? Evil with good, right? And by the way, if you overcome evil with good because you want him or her to face God's wrath, for our Lord to get a vengeance, or to heap burning coals on his or her head, then again, you aren't getting the point. You're not getting the point.
It's an expression.
How about Peter? So we've seen Proverbs, we've seen Paul. What about Peter? Now, Peter is famous for multiple things, but do you realize Peter is the one who cut the ear off the guy when they were arresting Jesus? So Peter seems like he could be a little bit of a hothead, doesn't he? What about his advice? 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. So remember, this is the guy who cut off the ear of the high priest's servant to protect Jesus. And by the way, what did Jesus do?
He healed it.
A little different approach. Are we there? 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not what?
Repay.
Right. All right. Do not repay, return evil for evil, or reviling for reviling." I think that's important, right? Reviling for reviling. Somebody's mean to you on Twitter, do you just zap them back?
No.
But on the contrary, what? What's your say?
Giving a blessing instead.
Bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. So Peter says to have a tender heart. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. And to bless. To bless. And then, by the way, not like a bless your little heart kind of bless, or the I'm going to zap you, blessings to you, and then you... Now, this is true blessing, right? Peter wasn't talking about a false blessing used sometimes in arguments, too. Somebody kind of basically says, well, clearly you're too thick to understand, but I hope things are good for you going forward. Well, that's not really a blessing that Peter's talking about. And just like Sylvia's tweet is another way of saying that a kind word turns away anger, something we've been all taught as children can express part of what Peter is saying. And that teaching is, two wrongs do not make a
right.
Two wrongs do not make a right.
Two wrongs make a bigger wrong.
Right. It's not a biblical saying, but it is biblical in meaning. Because here's Peter, you don't do wrong to make up for wrong. You were called, we were called to bless, to overcome evil with good. And if you do so, you will obtain a blessing. Remember that too. It's not like you do this and out of all of it, all you do is get beat on all day. You will receive a blessing. Now we're going to unfreeze time. We're frozen in time with Sylvia. We have to make a decision. You know what? We had a bad night too. My wife kicked me out of the bed. I'm just kidding. We don't feel well either. Probably the early stages of a cold. Isn't that awful? Like an awful feeling. You know it's coming on. You don't feel good. Hasn't kicked in. We got pulled over on our way to work. got a ticket. A big ticket. Our feelings are raw, and she just verbally slapped us when we didn't do anything wrong. But before we unfreeze time and make a decision on what to say back, I'd like to share a story from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon was a famous theologian and speaker. Here's the story he told. I once lived where my neighbor's garden was divided from me only by a very imperfect bridge. He kept a dog, and the dog was a shockingly bad gardener, kind of like Chewy. Shockingly bad gardener. What does that mean, girls? That the dog was a shark? Yeah, he messes with the garden, right?
Destroys it like my dogs do.
And Chewy.
Yeah.
He ripped the apple tree out of the ground.
He kept a dog, and his dog was a shockingly bad gardener and did not improve my plants. So one evening, while I walked alone, I saw this dog doing mischief. And being a long way off, I threw a stick at him. And with some earnest advice to his going home. So he threw the stick at him to get him to go away, right? The dog, instead of going home, picked up my stick and came to me with it in his mouth, wagging his tail. He dropped the stick at my feet and looked up to me most kindly. What could I do but pat him and call him a good dog and regret that I had ever spoken roughly to him? Time is unfrozen. It's time to respond to Sylvia. A medieval rhyme, which I'll totally mess up the pronunciation of, goes like this. Frangitur ira gravis, quando est responsio suavis. And what it means is this: anger, however great, is checked by answer sweet. Anger, however great, is checked by answer sweet. Sylvia's kryptonite is friendly people. Jesus says peacemakers will be called sons and daughters of God.
Well, according to the Bible, is a brother and a sister. Even my biological father is my holy brother.
Mm-hmm. So now you know all this, right? As a child of the Most Holy One, how sweet is your answer to Sylvia? And then the final question, what will your next post on social media look like?